thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. In other words, if you want to really get a hold of your personality, if you want to get a hold of your behavior, if you want to get a hold of your life, what should you get a hold of?
Your mouth.
Your mouth. This little tongue right here, it's the smallest member, they say, of the body. It's the smallest little member. It's just a real small member. But it can destroy, it can set a forest on fire. Like you start a little rumor. If I start a rumor, you see, I can destroy someone's reputation. But on the other hand, I can intercede and pray and build up. So what's the mouth for? To speak out of your heart. You see, your heart, out of the heart issues good things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. You see, that should come out of your mouth, John, all the time. Do you all have little sisters and brothers? A lot of times what comes out of our mouths toward them snares us. You are snared because with the judgment that you give, you will be judged. When you judge another, then you will be judged with that same judgment. Now, we're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about your daily walk. We're talking about having an abundant life. You can't have an abundant life if you're putting people down, if you're showing off, if you're trying to get, you know, be a big deal by making jokes and so on and so forth, or cutting people down. So what you want to do is build someone up. Now, I want you to think right now, everyone think. Think of something you could say to the person on your right that would build them up. Think of something you would say to the person on your right that would build them up. Think of something that would build them up. Okay? We're going to start here with Ileana. Think. I like your shirt. Does that build him up or does that make him vain? No. Wait, now think. Don't just compliment a person. Listen to me. Complimenting a person may or may not build them up. It depends. It could or it could not. Build them up. You know, not I like your car, I like your house, or something like this. Because that may just cause them to get their eyes off the Lord. But do something that will build them up. Make them feel good. Okay, you got one? Try it again. No? Okay, it's too general. It's not a thing that would really build them up, but I get your meaning. Okay. Okay, we're still not quite getting it right, but we're close there. That's not usually the thing we would say to somebody, but we could say it that way. You have a nice attitude, yeah.
But I've noticed what you seem to really seek God or want to know.
Amen. See, that builds up. Does that make you feel bad or good?
Yeah.
Yeah, amen. Sure, praise God. Go ahead.
Yeah,
that's a very building up word, isn't it? That really builds up. Doesn't that make you feel good? Yeah, amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. Nobody ever says that. That's why we're snared by our mouths so much, and that's why we're so unhappy. But you see, that's the kind of thing we should say to one another, isn't it? But we should, shouldn't we? Yeah, so that's what I'm teaching you here, is how to talk right. It's nice to say things like that. Say something to John. Okay. Okay, John, go ahead. Okay. Did you mean to build him up by saying that? Okay, praise God. Amen. I think you meant he has a good personality, like something like that. Okay, praise God. That's what you're going to say? Okay, here's something that builds up. I want to tell you, most of what we said was awkward, but here's something you say. I'm so glad you came.
Thank you.
See, that's natural and it makes you feel good. Gee, I'm glad you're here. Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that make you feel good? I'm glad I came too. I'm glad you came, Ray.
Yeah.
Amen. You're the oldest member of this class. You are. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, here's a test. This is a test for you. Okay? Write down on your piece of paper. What are the four roads to happiness? Four roads to happiness. If you don't know, don't answer. It's all right. What are the four roads to happiness? You weren't here at that time. No, just write the answers. Four roads to happiness.
You mean the real roads or the ones that I taught you?
No, the ones I taught you. The ones that I taught you. What are the four roads to happiness? I'll grade you in a minute. What are the four roads to happiness? Ileana's done. Kara's done. Can you think of one road? Well,
I can think of one.
Yeah.
Two, three, four.
The four roads to happiness.
Those are the four roads.
Just four roads to happiness. Okay. Next question. Next question. What's my purpose in life? I'm going to give you the answer in a minute for those of you who didn't get an A+. I want you to write. Write down. I'll borrow one. What is my purpose in life? What is my purpose in life? What is my purpose in life? Why are you here? What is your purpose? Put it down. Okay. All right. It's good. Next question. What are the three faces of my beloved? What are the three faces of my beloved? This was my second or third teaching. That's okay. Don't comment. Just listen. What are the? That's right. You're right, Byron. So put them down. What are the three faces of my beloved? Now, all of you were here last week, so you all get this one. What are the five uses of the law? No? What are the five uses of the law? You all had this perfectly last week. Shh. Yeah. First, remember the first one? Declares. I'll give you a hint. The first one is declares. The law declares. Shh. What are the five uses of the law? You weren't here. Ileana wasn't here. You weren't here. Okay. Number six. What are the five uses of the law?
Number six. That was number four.
All right, number four, I'm sorry. All right. By the way, for you who did not know that first question, answer this. If you don't know what the four roads to happiness are, write down the right road. What is the right road to happiness? The true road to happiness. Three of them are false, one of them is true. What is the true road to happiness? What will make you happy? Second question, what's my purpose in life? Third question, what are the three faces of the Lord, the three faces of my beloved? Fourth question, what are the five uses of the law? The fifth question, are we still under the law? Are we still under the law?
No,
don't answer it. Just
that was
five. That's okay. And last one, the last question, everyone ought to get this one right. Who is my best friend? Who is my best friend?
Who our best friend should be.
Shh. Who is my best friend? Who is my best friend? Just put down whatever the answer is. All right. Here are the answers. The four roads to happiness are serving self, serving others, serving God, and knowing God. How many got that right? One, two, three, four. Good. Okay. What's the true road to happiness?
Knowing God.
All right. Second question, what's my purpose in life?
To know God.
Not serving God, to know God. No, it's not the same thing. It's extremely important to realize that serving Him is not the same as knowing Him. Now listen, because what Byron said is extremely important and I want you to understand this. To serve the Lord is not the same as to know the Lord. When you know the Lord, you'll serve the Lord. But you could serve Him without knowing Him. It's more important to know Him than it is to serve Him, because one will produce the other. Do you understand that? Does everyone understand that? John, what did I just say?
You're not supposed to serve the Lord. You're supposed to know Him because if you know Him, you serve Him.
Exactly. Very good. All right. And there are some people that serve Him without knowing Him. We call that legalism. Then you're legalistically doing it. You're just doing it because you're supposed to, but you don't really love Him. Because if you know Him, you'll love Him. And if you love Him, you'll serve Him. All right, next question. What are the three faces of my beloved?
Memorable.
What are they, Byron?
I am light.
That's right. Light. Jesus is my light. And what does a light do, Carl? Exposes my sin. Jesus is my lamb. And what does a lamb do, Carl? That's right. He covers my sin. The same one that exposes me covers me. And he is my Lord. And what does the Lord do? Do you know, Tammy? All right, the light exposes, the lamb covers, and the Lord... No. That's good. He does also do that. That's right. Yeah, he empowers. So the Lord lives in us. He indwells us to empower us to do what the Lord lighted us up to do when the Lord exposed us by his light and said, you know, you can't do it apart from me. Then by his lamb... As a lamb, he covered us with his blood and forgave us. And then as a Lord, he actually enables us or empowers us or strengthens us to do everything he wants us to do. All right? What are the three faces of my beloved Ray? What are the three faces?
Light.
Light.
Love.
Lamb.
Love.
Lord. Okay. No, wait a minute. All of those are parts of love. Love lights us. Love covers us, and love empowers us. In other words, love is light, love is Lamb, love is Lord. In other words, Jesus, who is our beloved, comes to us in those three ways. First, he exposes us, then he covers us, then he empowers us, or strengthens us, or enables us. Do you understand that now? Do you understand that? Good. What did I just say?
Yeah. Lot is love, and man is love, and Lord is love.
That's right.
Good.
Excellent. Perfect. Very good. All right. What are the five uses of the law? What's number five?
Declared.
Yeah. What is it? No, not declared.
Delivered.
No.
Drive.
All right. We'll start.
Drive.
No. No. What? All right. Now look. There are five. Look right here. There are five. What is number one? What's the first thing the law does?
Declares.
Declares what?
That you are
no.
No, it declares God's will.
It declares God's will. What is God's will, John? What is God's will? What does God want of you? Yeah, that's good. Very good. Praise the Lord. But under the law, God's will is to be perfect. And that includes what you just said. Be perfect. So number two, if the law declares God's will, number two, what happens? It exposes, the law exposes my sin. Shh. All right. Number three, if the law exposes my sin, what's the third thing it does? No.
Condemns.
It's okay, convicts is good enough too. But it condemns me to hell. So that's, if that's all, if we stopped right there, the law wouldn't be much good, would it? Because not for us anyway. But God's law is good. What makes it good? Four and five.
Drive and deliver.
That's right. It drives us to what?
Jesus.
Right. That's correct. And what does Jesus do for us? He saves us through his
blood.
Right. Through faith in his blood. That's good. All right. And what's the last thing that it does? It describes our new man. So the law, when the law says this, what if the law says, thou shalt not kill? Then it would, you see, the first thing it would do is it declare God's will. Don't kill. The second thing it would do is say, but you do kill. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, even if you look at someone angrily, you've killed. You see? Ooh, that's pretty deep. Then even if I feel angry, I've killed. That's right. That's... No, you don't want to say that. This is before God. This is God's understanding. Humans aren't doing it, but in their heart, they've already hated you. All right? The third thing is, if the law said, thou shalt not kill, is it condemns me for being a killer and says, you must go to hell because the wages of sin is death. But the fourth thing is, it drives me to Jesus. Why, John? Because Jesus will do what? He'll forgive me. He'll save me, cover me with his blood. And the fifth thing is, there's much more than blood. The law also describes me, my new man in Christ, which says, Thou shalt not kill. That means I don't kill. Because my new heart, my new man, doesn't kill. So the first thing is the law cuts off my flesh, but actually describes my spirit. Do you see that? Now I keep the law. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law, but that you might fulfill it. Now what are the five uses of the law? You don't know.
I do.
Do you know? It declares God's will. It exposes my sin. It condemns me to hell. It drives me to Christ. That's all right, heaven, Christ. And it describes my new man, partially by sight, totally by faith. In other words, at times I do commit sins. So by sight, it looks like I'm not perfect. But by faith, because of the blood of Jesus, I'm covered totally, and so it describes me perfectly. John, do you have all that?
Sort of.
Not good enough. All right. Carl, what are the five things the law does? Okay. Good. Anyone else?
Jim, can I say a word? Did your gun take what killed somebody? I just turned the gun and said,
Yeah, but you don't want to kill even yourself. See, you don't want to kill anybody,
yeah.
Not even yourself. Because that's the Lord's prerogative, isn't it?
Yeah,
He doesn't want us to do that. But I know what you're saying. Praise God. All right. Are we still under the law?
No.
What are we under then?
Right.
That's right. Good. Okay.
Thank you, God.
Okay, a new teaching. Let's start with Proverbs 7. What's the last question? Who is my best friend? I assumed you all got that right. Jesus. Right. Okay? I want you to think about that. Jesus is your best friend. I tell you, you'll never have a friend like Him. He's your best friend. He's someone you can always turn to. He's someone that's always with you. Chapter 7, Proverbs. Let's start with Ray. Quiet. Turn to your Bible. Byron, where's your Bible? Do you have a Bible of your own?
No.
Okay. We'll make sure you get one. How about yours? Okay. That's okay. I'll make sure you get one.
Well, I have one at home, but I don't take it anywhere.
Okay. All right, let's start reading. Open yours up. Proverbs 7. Ray's going to read verse number 1. We'll just go right around the room.
My son, keep my word and lay up my commandments with thee.
Keep my commandments and live in my laws as the apple of thine eye.
What does it mean, apple of thine eye? Keep the law as the apple of thine eye. What is the apple? Look into your eye. What would it be? The pupil. It really means the pupil of your eye. That is, it's the thing that's right in the center. That's right. No, it's keep God's law ever before your eyes. All right, let's go on. What would that mean? Write them on the tablet of your heart.
Memorize them.
Memorize them, right. Hide God's word in your heart. Go ahead. Okay. See, in other words, make them real close. That doesn't mean fighting your sister. This is nice. Okay?
They will keep you away from other men's wives, from women of seductive words.
Okay. In other words, the law is going to keep you pure. Without the word of God, you will not be pure. That's why we said last time, the words of your mouth will snare you. Don't say, boy, she's nice, or boy, he's good looking. You see what I'm saying? Watch your mouth. What you say, I don't care what's inside here, what's going through your head, stop it with your mouth. Don't say it. Don't speak it out. And then later you'll learn if you start saying the right thing, if you start saying the Word of God, your thoughts will change. So a lot of you girls, sometimes you say, boy, don't say that. Say instead something that would build up. Didn't I teach you that? Okay? Do you see how you've already ruined your mind to an extent? You have to clean up your mind now, don't you? Because your mind is already perverted by television and by girlfriends and by schoolmates and by a lot of stuff that goes on. Isn't that right? Amen. All right. All right, verse 6.
Let the wind in my house on this drought through my life.
All right.
And behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding.
That is a naive young man. That's what the devil tells some woman. You can get that guy. He's kind of simple. He doesn't know what he's doing. And they just bat their eyes at you, you're saying? Put a little Maybelline on. Go after it. That's right. Did you know that's what happens? It's not funny. It's not funny. It's deadly serious. God warns against that. God says, you be very careful. That's why you women must dress yourselves modestly. Modestly. You know what modestly means?
Honestly.
Yeah, what does it mean? Not daringly. That's correct. That's right. That's correct. So I don't care what the other girls are doing or what the other guys are doing. You do what God wants you to do. Do you understand? You do what? Okay. So we don't care what the kids are wearing and doing. We don't care what the latest fads are. The devil has a lot to do with fashion. Okay. That's one of his chief industries, fashion. It's one of the first things he did in the Garden of Eden. Yeah, that's when the clothing industry started right there. No, that's right. And ever since, he's been doing it. Okay. Let's go on. 8, Ray.
Passing to the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house.
Okay.
In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night.
Why? Why does it say at night? Do you know that most sin is committed at night? Why?
Because dark is evil.
What is Satan's name?
Darkness.
What is his kingdom called? The kingdom of darkness. You see, God is called the kingdom of light. That's why most crime is not committed in the daytime. Right. Exactly. So mostly, you know, when you commit things that are wrong, you mostly do them when your parents aren't looking. You mostly do when the teacher isn't looking. You mostly do them in the dark, in other words. Do you see what I'm saying? Because Satan is the master of darkness. And he'll try to get you into the dark. That's why prayer brings you into the light. Every day when you talk over your whole life with God, you bring everything into the light. Do you see that? That prevents the devil from getting darkness into you. Amen. It works. It really does. I tell you, to come before God each day and tell Him all your thoughts. Tell Him what you've been doing. Don't tell a person. This is what the Roman Catholic Church has taught a lot of people, to use a confessional. And this is what the humanists teach in school today, to share your most intimate thoughts with some other human being. Don't do it. That's the devil's trick to get control over the nations, to get control over you kids. At the hospital over here, I was there today. And if they see someone who's in there, maybe their husband's in there, their wife is in there, they see you're stressed and they say, oh, you're stressed? You come downstairs and we'll have a meeting and help you out. And they get into that meeting and everybody shares everything and they share their most intimate thoughts. You get in bondage to those people. That's demonic. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't share with God. Don't share with a pastor. Don't share with other people. Don't share with anyone. Share with God. Don't look for someone you can share your most intimate thoughts with. Share it with God. People are going to just use you anyway. They don't really care. And you're just using them anyway if you share it with them. Keep your most intimate thoughts to yourself and share it with God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't try to find some friend that you can share everything with. Just pour it all out and see if they still love you. That's a trick and that's a gimmick and that's a deal. Stay in the light. Stay clean. Say things that you could speak in public. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying you can't have a friend to share a few things with. But basically, keep quiet. Don't be sharing everything to try to be loved. Because that's what you'll do. You'll share it to try to get someone to accept you and love you. If you put all your garbage out and they'll still love you. What'll happen is you'll be in bondage to them for the rest of your life. Give it to God. Don't go around complaining outwardly. Don't go around complaining secretly in the dark. Take all your complaints to God. You know, if you go to God and you say, God, I'm so... God will listen. But God is the only one that knows how to talk back to you in the right way to keep you clean. Do you know what I'm saying, Ray? Don't rebel with John over here. Don't tell John, oh, God, no. You know, don't do that. See, build John up when you're with him. Do you understand that? Is that easy to do? No. Do it. Okay, let's go on. Now, why does it say the attire? What does attire mean?
Dress.
Clothing. Because evil always shows itself. Even if it dresses up a little to hide itself, it also always shows itself. Evil will always be known by its fruits. So people wear signals. People let you know where they are. Homosexuals have a language that they communicate with others with. And harlots have a language that people know. And people that are jokesters, they're always telling jokes, they let people know where they are. People that are hurting let people know. You see, we send out signals. You Christians ought to be sending out this signal. I love Jesus, I'm happy in Jesus, and God takes care of all my needs and everything like that. And I'm here, I'm very comfortable in life, and I'm here to help. Those are the signals we ought to be sending out as people see us. And I'm not into bribes. I'm not into dirty things. I'm not into, you know. So this woman was dressed in a way because she saw this young man hadn't made up his mind yet. He didn't know whether he was going to do what his parents had taught him as a little boy, whether he was going to try to be grown up and sophisticated and do what other kids are doing, you know. I remember when that happened to me. I remember exactly. I was 16 years old. I remember when the other guy said, "Why don't you come with us?" I can remember that night. And we had to wait till after work, you know, come with us. Well, I decided not to. That was a very important decision, whether I'm going to do what the other guys are doing or whether I'm going to do... Now, I was not a Christian at that point, but I knew that they were going to... I was going to go down a road I didn't want to go down. I didn't know what was going to happen, and I didn't want to find out. And that was a smart move. Be a loner. You kids need to learn right now to stand up, and you don't need a crowd behind you. If you're into crowds, you're into trouble. You can stand alone. Stand right. Now, I'm not saying you can't have friends, and I'm not saying you can't be in groups, but this is the kind of group you want to be in where there's health, where there's life. Don't choose just to go along with everybody because they're doing this or doing that. Because eventually, most crowds go to hell. They go downhill. And, you know, that's not totally true, but that's mostly true. So learn to stand alone. I remember many times I had to stand alone. I had to take the guff from whatever. But you know, when you're a little kid, it hurts. But when you get a little bigger, it doesn't hurt. Then you're glad you did it. But when you're little, it does hurt. When nobody else, you know, does what you're doing. And you don't have to be weird. Christians aren't necessarily weird. But we are circumspect. We are careful. We are careful. All right, let's read on to see what this guy said. Ray?
One time, I was a kid playing, you had a kid playing around. So, Pat Williams, we all were in the Fort Worth Club.
Fort Worth Boys Club?
I remember. And so one of the kids there, he lost all hours. That boy, you were fighting, you were in fight. He had to be on top of me, I couldn't move. And so, Pat told me one day, he said, "Ray, if you don't stop that, it's up to him, I'm going to reach you."
Yeah, so, amen. He didn't pick on him anymore.
Yeah, so.
It's good.
So, we got a club one day, got a phone. And when you were, somebody told me, "Bring my leg up, you're kicking my leg and bring it down." So, he hit me the ground like that. You were on the ground this morning.
Right.
Nearly bothered him more.
No. Praise God. Amen. Okay, let's read on. Verse 11.
That's me.
Okay.
She was a bold and shameless woman who always walked straight.
Right. She didn't stay at home. You see? I'll tell you one thing about teenagers. They always want to go. Be on the move. Where's it at? Where's it happening? You see what I mean? Let's call up. Let's talk to someone. You know what I mean? Don't do that. Don't do that. Just slow down. Huh?
You're not
worried
if you don't do that?
No. You don't have to. That's where you get in trouble. If you're always looking for where the action is, hey, there's no action out there. That's not action. But this woman didn't want to stay at home. She was bored. Boredom will get you into trouble. It says the devil's workshop is idle hands. In other words, when you're not doing anything, what am I going to do? Trouble. You know, hey, God has plenty to do. You should never be idle. There's prayer, you know. There's church.
The Bible.
Yeah, reading the scripture, meditating. This is life. Does it seem like life to you at this age? It wouldn't have to me, but it is life. That's where life is found. School yourself in this. Don't get all, you know, involved with all these others. Hey, this woman was out on the streets. That's when I was your age, man, that's what I wanted to do, is go out. I wanted to be out where the kids were. I wanted to find out where the group was, where are the cars parked, where are the gang meeting, where is it at, you know? And that meant you were restless. You had no stability inside. You're constantly looking for the group. Hey, what are you going to do tonight? I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know. Let's just go. Let's find them, you know? Well, that's no good. That just gets you in trouble. And I did. I got in trouble. That's what happened. You get in trouble that way. We never had a Bible study. We never went out to have a Bible study. We never helped anybody. We never painted anybody's home or something like this. We never did anything good. We never thought of anything good. The only things we ever thought of was stealing tomatoes out of somebody's garden or, you know, doing a lot of dumb thing. Okay, let's go on. Verse 12, Carl. Or am I going the right direction? No, sorry. Have you ever driven down the streets of the city and you've seen men and women like that? They just have nothing to do. And they're just looking for trouble. Right, cruising.
Cruising is a bad word.
Yeah. Okay, let's go on. Byron.
So, caught him and kissed him and imputed that he said to him.
So she was very brazen. You see, you just be walking along and she'd just grab a hold of you. Just grab a hold of you like that. Hey, what you doing tonight? See what I mean? Hey, what you doing? And just kissed him right away. And you know, he's already defiled. Just by doing that, this young man, of course, you see, he would never have gotten in trouble had he not been just kind of shuffling his feet along. You see, if he had done what God said. But he didn't go up to her, did he? He didn't go up to her. But why did she grab a hold of him? Because he was looking for trouble, you see. He hadn't said, well, I'm going to go out and someone will get a hold of me. No, he hadn't planned on that. You never plan on the things that the devil does. You always plan on just kind of shuffling around, you see. But he'll just come right up, and you're defiled. The minute you walk by, if you walk down a certain street, or you go in certain places, someone's going to say something to you, and you'll never be the same again. It'll defile you for life. Someone will say some remark to you that'll make you feel awful for life. You'll never forget it. It'll stick in your mind forever. That's why I want you to be in church and in places like this where you can be built up so that you can have these kind of thoughts, that you're always thinking of things that are good, that are pure, that are right, that are kind. Do you see what I'm saying, Byron? So watch out for the group, the loose group, because there they'll say stuff like, oh, they'll just tear people down, and it'll plant stuff in your mind, and it's hard to get rid of it. You cannot easily get rid of it. It does not go away. They'll curse, and those cursing words get inside of your mind. And when you get into a situation, it'll just come right out. Just like that, even if you don't intend it. Okay, let's go on.
I have peace offerings with me this day, have I paid my vows.
Okay, ready.
Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I found thee.
You know what she's saying? She's almost saying here that God sent me to you. It's what they call karma. You know, by divine appointment we've met. I've come out here and I know it's not just chance. You see, that's what the songs are all. Have you ever heard the songs on the radio and so on? That's what they're always about. Seeing you, I knew, you know, they do all that, right? Well, that's what they're singing all the time, just like what this says in the Bible. See how the Bible is right up to date. This is exactly what goes on. And it's a lie. Parts of it, you know, a lot of it is. Yeah, a lot of the lyrics are, right. Just really, they're all down. It's a downer. It's basically a downer. You know, it's not going to build you up.
People say, when you say, hey, come with me, somebody's going to preach on rock music, it's not good. Oh, I don't listen to rock, I listen to country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of that. See, it's singing and music is meditation. And the Bible forbids you, listen to me, the Bible forbids you to meditate on that which is evil. It says, think not on the evil things, but think on the things that are pure, that are right. So your songs ought to be like the songs we sing. That's why we sing simple songs. We don't sing something real complicated. Because you won't meditate on a complicated song. But you sing on, oh, how I love Jesus, or something catchier. Even. You know, Jesus took my burdens and he rolled them in the sea. Yes, he rolled them in the sea. Yeah, see, it's easy. It just, but that's good to meditate on. Like today I was in the hospital and we were singing to this lady that was 94 years old. And we were singing, we sang that song, Jesus Took My Burdens. But we were singing another song. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. And you know what? Her face, while we were singing that song, her face just lit up, just changed. That's medicine. That's medicine. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's medicine, to sing like that. Boy, she was really delighted. She just thanked us so much. Oh, that was so beautiful. That was so beautiful. So sing. When you're alone at home, do you sing a lot? Do you all sing?
Yes, I sing in the shower all the time.
Us sing in the shower.
You sing in the shower.
Okay, Terry.
Right.
I never sing in the shower.
It's good to sing. Do you sing, Byron?
Inquire.
Inquire? It's good. But you should sing when you're alone. You know, sing about the Lord. I like to sing the Psalms. You can read these Psalms and you can sing them.
We used to do that in chapel.
You know? Well, you can just start reading and singing while you're reading. You know, God is the Lord which hath showed us light by the sacrifice. You know, you can just start singing anything. Well, it is a good way to memorize, but it's just a good way to get it in your heart. Sing it over and over and over again. Okay, let's go on. 16.
I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, and with fine linen of Egypt.
Okay.
Where are we, 18?
Yeah.
Okay. Come on, let's make love all night long. We'll be happy in each other's arms.
Now, what is that? Are you embarrassed by that?
Yeah. Yes.
Why? Okay. I want you to know this is not funny. This is tragic. Because this is not the true, you know, God wants this reserved. This is a sacred thing. God wants this reserved for the right one. First of all, the Lord. Second of all, if you're not to remain single, only with your spouse. See, there are certain things you are never to share with anyone else but your spouse. If you don't get married, many of you may be called to a single life. You see? Well, you don't know. You have to ask God. There's only one way to find out, and that's to ask God.
But when you need the desire of your heart.
Yeah. But you need to also draw in close to him. If that's your desire today, he'll either change your desire, so you'll be all right. He will give you the desire of your heart. Okay? Okay. So he either change your desire. But ask him. You know, and don't think he'll give you something awful. He's going to give you the best. He's going to give you the best. But what I want you to understand is don't just assume you're going to get married just because everybody else does. Ask him. Say, Lord, do you want me to devote my life to you, or should I be married, or whatever? Because I want to serve you no matter what. Don't say, but I want to get married. I just got to. No, you don't. No, you don't. A lot of young people today won't marry because they've seen so much trouble in marriage. They've seen...
Yeah, but
not if you put Jesus first.
If you put Jesus first, right. Yes.
I mean, every couple's going to have a disagreement every once in a while. I mean, if you have Jesus first, you're not going to be throwing pillows.
Right. No. Here's the thing. You'll have just as many troubles. You'll probably have more troubles. If you're a Christian, you'll have lots of troubles. But with Jesus, you have the answer to all those troubles. That's the difference. Now, don't just marry someone that's a Christian. Just because they say they're Christian doesn't mean they're Christian. Or just because they are Christian doesn't mean they're mature. Marry someone that God says, this is the one. You see?
And your parents,
right. Right. Now listen to me. Because all of you girls are going to be deceived. You girls are going to think you're going to get the right guy if you think you're going to get married. You're going to be deceived. You'll be deceived.
I can't. My parents, my dad's going to meet every guy before I even go get a tattoo.
Good. That's good. No, that's wonderful. That'll be a great protection for you. They won't bind you. They're going to, it'll be a blessing. But I want you to know something. You girls don't know anything. You don't know what you think you know. You don't know anything. And neither do you guys. Okay? You think when you're your age that you're pretty cool and got it together, but you don't. You really need the Lord's help. So pray right now before you're ready, years before you're ready, Lord, if I am to get married, then send the right man, send the right woman into my life. I want to marry the right woman, a godly woman. The smaller ones, right in here. Well, I don't know where they are. No, they're in the kitchen. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Okay, let's go on. Shh. 19.
Wow. Oh,
Ileana. Oh, I don't know who it is.
My husband isn't at home. He's on a long trip.
Okay, go ahead.
He's taking a bag of money with him, and we'll come home at the day appointed at the full moon.
Okay.
With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him.
Okay, that's manipulation, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
By words. You see how words there again snare you? Don't you see that? The words snared this young man. Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead.
He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stock.
So what's going to happen to him? Is he going to actually find pleasure? Is he going to destroy himself?
He's going to destroy himself.
But he thinks, ah, this is good. This is going to be great. But what's going to happen actually? The devil has lied. And every one of you are also vulnerable to that unless you fill your life with the Lord. I'll tell you, you're not going to make it unless you fill your life right now with the Word of God. You might say, oh, I think I'll be strong. You won't make it. You won't make it. That doesn't mean you may outwardly not make it, but one way or another, you're not going to be happy and strong and free unless you take seriously right now at your age when it's tough, okay? This is hard at your age, but if you don't do it now, you aren't going to do it. Now's the time, 12, 13, 14. This is the time, right now. You make that decision. You say, well, I might miss out on life. Uh-huh, you will. You'll miss out on life if you call that life. Well, all the other kids are doing it. Yeah, well, they'll all go to hell. A lot of kids are going to go to hell. Do you know that? A lot of your friends. Did you know that? You want to go with them?
No.
Wouldn't it be better if you could help some of them to go to heaven?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's why you're here on the earth, Byron. You're here to win people to Jesus Christ. You're here to snatch some people out of the fire. I tell you, it's a big joke right now, isn't it? Ha, ha, ha. Life is funny. But it won't be when you suddenly see what's happening to this world and what you see is going to happen. In a few years, you'll look back and say, man, I'm glad someone told me the truth. Because right now, life is a big bullet. You know, it's just really, so on and so forth. Uh-uh. This world is ugly. It's awful. It's treacherous. And there's a world after this that's even more real than what we're doing right now. This is just a schooling ground. Yeah.
No, really, just tell me what you think.
Tell you what I think?
I think we will. I mean, some people think we will. Absolutely won't. Some think we absolutely will. Some people think we've just got to be part of it, you know.
Yeah.
What do you
I don't really know.
But what do you think?
No, I really don't know. No, I don't.
I mean, everybody wants to believe we won't go through it at all, but don't you think we might just a little bit?
No, that wouldn't be necessary. That wouldn't be necessary. Everybody who lives a godly life is going to be persecuted. That has nothing to do with tribulation. Everyone's going to be persecuted. Right now, I'm persecuted. Right now, you're persecuted. How are you being persecuted? You may not be if you're not living a godly life. If you're living a godly life, you will be persecuted. That is, if you follow God's way, you will be persecuted by your friends, by your own thoughts. You persecute yourself by your own thoughts. By your family.
Yeah.
Other relatives. But there also can be outward persecution. You know, but we don't experience a lot of that. But they do in other countries. You know, in Robert's country, Robert was telling, you know, about a year or two ago, one of his friends, they just came up behind him when he was praying, chopped his head off with an axe.
What?
Yeah.
Robert?
Yeah, one of Robert's friends in Africa.
Yeah.
Oh, this happened to thousands of people, but this was just one of his good friends. This was just somebody he really knew. Yeah, he was a Christian. He knew he was